everybody here to our public hearing at 6:30. Today's date is January 8th, and it is now 6:30. I'll entertain a motion to open for a public hearing.
I make a motion to open for the public hearing.
I have a motion by Carrie. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Have a second by Kurt. All in favor?
Aye.
Sorry about that. So we need to, I don't know why, but the state has required us to say yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
So all in favor?
Yes.
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 Thank you. At this time, we will open it up for public comments. Do we have any public comments? Candace, got a public comment for us? Okay, moving on. Number four, discuss, consider ordinance 2026-1, an ordinance adopting the Wildland Urban Interface Code to comply with House Bill 48.
Do we have a choice?
I don't think so.
No. And
I was gonna say,
has anybody looked at it or read it? It's pretty lengthy.
It's way lengthy.
Yeah, and so I found a little YouTube video. It's about a minute and a half long. I was just gonna play it in the microphone here. It kind of gives a fairly good assessment of what it is. But yeah, basically the state has decided this and everybody has to adopt it, you know, counties and cities. And, or I can just try to explain it and the best I can, but the video's a lot better.
I think if you explain it, it's good enough.
So moving forward, basically they're looking at structures, you know, whether they're commercial structures, residential structures that are going to be built in the state, and where are they being built at, and what is the assessment of fire where this building is going to be built, and if it's deemed to be in like a high risk area, the county can impose a fee that would show up on their property taxes, and these fees would be collected to help, you know, mitigate any kind of you know, fees or expenses that come with wildfires. Also goes over kind of what homeowners should be responsible in doing to mitigate and lessen fire risks from moving from one property to another, and that's keeping weeds down, brush, maybe moving a fence, etc., so that you can try to lessen if there is a fire. And they talk about fire flow, just going from one property or one structure to the next, to the next, to the next. And if they're in high risk areas, again, the county can impose a fee, show up on the property taxes and collect them. There is a map, you can find it online. I did find it, and in really around Orangeville, the only high risk areas that they have highlighted is Fossil Rock mine, and then obviously the subdivisions up around the up around Joes Valley. There's about five areas that are highlighted: the two subdivisions, Fossil Rock, and then I can't remember, but four of them around are around Joes Valley, and the other one's Fossil Rock. So I know they list the cabins and that for addresses in Orangeville up at Joes Valley, but they're county, right?
Yeah.
So it's something the county is going to look at doing, hopefully too, that if anyone builds cabins or, you know, structures up there and they deem them to be high risk, they can impose a fee. Kind of really that, but it's so you can dig into it more if you want, or even just Google it. Google House Bill 48, and there's YouTube videos on it and stuff, and kind of gives you.
After reading about it, I think it has to do with California's wildfires, basically, and insurance is what it comes down to.
That's the other key too, is, and they talked a lot about Southern Utah. If homeowners or you know, developers or whoever are going to build subdivisions or a large warehouse or whatever, and they're not going to try to lessen the impact of fire or fire spreading, insurance companies can just deny covering them, you know, on homeowners insurance at all. So
any further discussion? Okay, moving on to number five, discuss, consider ordinance 2026-2, an ordinance amending the subdivision regulations in chapter 15, article A, article B, and article C to ensure the compliance with the Utah code 10-9A6 This is Doug again.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna read to you guys. So this is the revised document that we got from the city attorney. And again, it's the state that has come with these articles for subdivision, minor subdivisions, major subdivisions. And we had to, again, we have to adopt this because the state is requiring it. And a couple nights ago, planning and zoning, Lisa wanted us to clarify some things in here, and I'm just gonna read them to you guys really quick. And what planning and zoning, what we agreed upon or what we answered, just so you know. Right here. So one of the questions that the city attorney asks us is, do we want approvals for a subdivision to last longer than 1 year? And we said, no. They can come back year after year and get another approval. And the same thing applies with like RV parks, like the one up on Mill Dam Road. If there is no progress made, if they're not doing anything, it just sits stagnant for a year, they have to come back in and reapply and get another approval through planning and zoning and city council. So we just didn't want them, you know, going out 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years and not doing anything. Part of it too was when I first joined planning and zoning years ago, the Mill Dam Road was a big hot item at the time. And there was an individual who I had had several discussions with who was, well, you guys know him, it was Stephen Jeffries, and he had told me a number of changes that they were gonna make in regards to having airstreams up there and other stuff. And when I joined planning and zoning, they said, hey, we haven't heard from them for a while. What do we need to bring those back, those individuals back. It's been more than a year. And I said, you know, and I just said, hey, they've changed from their original proposal to adding this and this and this. And nobody on planning and zoning knew it. They're like, well, we didn't know. So it's also to help try and make sure that if, you know, the city is given a proposal for this is what we're going to do, that they stick to that. And if there's any changes made, they got to come back and get approval for those. And they just don't willy-nilly make changes and do whatever they want. So we said, no, they cannot last longer than a year. Does Orangeville?
So no, back to that. They can't last more than a year, but they can come back within that year and change their plan and still be okay.
Yes.
Up to a point. If there's large changes, I think there would need to be some sort of approval. It just depends on what the changes are.
Okay. But they still have that year to, if they're going to make some changes, they have to come back. But if not, they'll have to go through the whole
process. The overall approval to do the project? Okay. Yeah, they don't need.
Okay.
Okay. Does Orangeville want to authorize the planning commission chair rather than the whole planning commission to approve the final subdivision application? And we said no. We didn't want just one individual being the sole person responsible to say yes or no on something. We wanted it to be across the committee. And we just felt that was reasonable for obvious reasons. Do you want to refer to your general plan? And then it says it is required under 11-15A-1. So obviously, if it's required, then yes, we do want to refer to the general plan when any subdivision proposals come up. Notifying adjacent owners isn't required by state code, but it is in the revision she gave us. Yeah, our code. So she said I would suggest deleting it. So we're going with her suggestion. We're deleting it so they don't need to notify adjacent neighbors.
Okay.
I think there's one or two more. Does the city want the approval to last for just 1 year? So that was redundant. Policy question. This is the same grant of approval. Both those were redundant. We didn't want just one person having the sole authority and responsibility to approve or deny a subdivision. We wanted it to be planning and zoning as a commission. And then, can the planning and zoning commission approve bonds? And we said no. So So if someone wanted, needed to be bonded to develop a subdivision, we would, we prefer to have city council themselves approve anything in that regards instead of planning and zoning. And that was really all the changes that we had other than that. That's all I got.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to close this public hearing and open our 7 o'clock public hearing.
I'll make a motion, we close public hearing and open the regular session.
We have a...
Second.
Second by, or motion by Kurt and a second by Kevin. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Any opposed?
It's gonna be hard to do.
Seeing none, this will be closed and we will wait till 7 o'clock for our next meeting. Thank you. So I had...